What's up, family? Well, it's good to be here with you this morning. I got my big papa in the building. Pops, where you at? Oh, that's a man right there. If there's any sexiness in me, it comes from him and the woman next to my mother. She is amazing. Love you, mama. Well, it's awesome to be here in Living Hope among my family. I believe the Lord got something powerful for you this morning. Let your neighbor say, it's going to be good. That's it. Well, let's go to him in prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the powerful time of being in your presence and worship. Thank you for sharing your heart with us through Pastor Sonny for Syria. And Lord, you're doing amazing things in this world because you love it. You so love this world, you sent your son. That whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we ask that you would give us the delight that you have for this world, God. That we would learn, Lord, to delight in the things that you've made and learn ultimately to delight in you the way that you delight in us. Lord, speak to us tonight. Give us boldness and courage to move forward with great faith, with great action, and with great confidence, God. We love you, and in the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, September is an amazing month because there's a lot of birthdays. How many of y'all got a birthday in September? Look at that, like 25,000 of you, right? Well, my family, there's like 10 kids, 9 kids, right? And like 4 or 5 of them have birthdays. But it's so amazing because my wife just turned 25 again. Right? We were out celebrating her birthday with a white water rafting trip, and it was pretty exciting. I fell off the raft, definitely the first go around. Thank you. It was pretty awesome. My wife thought I was going to die, but I didn't because I'm a beast. But we went whitewater rafting. We had an amazing time. And I invited my dad to come. I invited my family. And my pops, he was able to make it out. And we're driving out. You know, we're on the 80 headed out towards the Sacramento area. And as we're driving, you know, we're just talking. And the one thing I love about my dad is he has all these stories. I mean, stories like out the woodwork. Stories like I've never even heard of growing up. And he just reminds us of who we were as kids by just sharing stories with you. How many have parents that do that? Especially when they tell them, like when you're with your wife or your friend, it's like, oh, Pops, come on, don't share that one. Well, amen. Well, he was sharing a story from when I was about 4 or 5 years old. We lived in Sacramento. And he said that there was a day that, you know, you were going to school and you used to take the bus to school. And I remember, you know, the yellow school bus, you know, back in the day, it was legit to take the bus. You were like excited. You got your little lunchbox, right? Your little Batman lunchbox, and you're ready. So he said, you're going to take the bus to go to school. And he said, you know, I went to go pick you up because you didn't come home because you were supposed to take the bus home as well. And I was like, oh, that's fun. And I'm like, I don't remember this. He said, yeah, so I got to the school. And as I get to the school, I go into the office and I'm asking them, you know, is Joseph here? Have you seen Joseph? They're like, oh, yeah, he's outside the bus stop. He's taking the bus. And he said, well, I just went out there and he's not out there. And I went home and he's not home. So where's my son? Well, he was taking the bus. Okay, this is his school. You're supposed to be in charge of him. I went to the bus stop. He's not there. I went home. He's not there. Where's my son? Now, I mean, I just imagine my dad ripping off his shirt at that moment, right? Getting ready to bust somebody up. And he said at that point, he's just like, all right, what am I going to do? So he starts driving. He says, I start driving the bus route home. And he says, as I'm driving, I get, you know, towards the house and getting closer and closer to the house. And so all of a sudden, I see you walking. And I pull alongside you, and I'm like, hey, Joseph. He says, you just look at me with this big old smile, like, hey, Dad. I'm like, he said, like, what are you doing? I said, well, the bus didn't come, so I decided to walk home. And he said in his head, he's like, what now? I'm sure there's some expletives going on, you know what I'm saying? Like, beep, 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 what the? You're 4 years old, boy. You don't walk home when the bus don't come. You go back into the office and have them call your dad. But he said the other thing was he was in awe of how I remembered the bus route. He said, how does a four-year-old kid remember how to get to school? I mean, he said it was quite a distance to get there. And all I could think of was, dang, I was a beast. I was 4 years old. Like, that bus ain't coming. I ain't tripping. I'm walking. I got places to go, things to do, people to see, right? I got chores. If I don't get my chores, my mom's going to get at me, right? I got homework to do. Can't be sitting around at no bus stop waiting for that person. Heck nah. And the awesome thing about him sharing the story was, one, I cracked up, started laughing. But it brought out, again, a sense of identity, and that's always been a part of who I am. When the bus don't come, I don't sit around and wait. When the bus don't come, I keep moving because I know where I got to go. There's a sense of purpose inside of me. I'm not sitting around feeling like a victim. Oh man, the bus ain't coming. Dad's not here. Mom left me. No one's calling the school. The bus ain't coming. I got shoes. I got feet. Daddy taught me how to walk. I'ma get walking. My question to you this morning is, when the bus don't come, what do you do? Look to your neighbor, say, when the bus don't come. See, our action or our inaction is a direct result of our confidence in God's delight in us and our delight in God. When your heart is united with the heart of the Father through delight, you could be sure that where you are going is where you're meant to be. That where you're going is where you're meant to go. And what you are doing is what you're meant to do. When your heart is united with the Father, nothing is wasted. When your heart is united with the Father, delight leads to destiny. Now, I'm thinking as we're driving to go rafting, how did I have the confidence to walk home? Like, my wife was looking at me after my pops told that story. She's in the backseat cramped because, like, our whole car was full of snacks, right? That's just what I do. When I go on vacation, we got snacks coming out the wazoo, right? I mean, when I used to go to camp as a kid, I think it was because, you know, we never really had snacks growing up. Or, let me say it this way. I never really had snacks growing up because you got five brothers. So by the time mom brought the food and brought it into the cabinet, an hour later, your older brothers pushed you aside. They ate it all. So all I got was crumbs. Right? So I'm like, when I grow up, there's going to be snacks. Gonna make sure of this. So whenever I went camping to like youth retreats, right, pops, you remember this? Like, Dad, we got to go get some snacks. Like, mijo, you're going for like 2 days. I had a suitcase. 75% of it was snacks. Oreos, Doritos, salami, right? Everything. I like salami. So our car's packed. My wife is in the back. She's hearing this story, and she's like, dude, if that happened to me, I'd be like crying. Like, where's my dad at? And I begin to think, I love you, baby. I got you, girl. I remember thinking at that moment as we're driving, how did I have the confidence to walk home? And as I begin to think as a young boy growing up and begin to think of how my father and my mother nurtured and grew and cultivated this inside of me, the only conclusion I could really arise at was my confidence arose from my father's and mother's delight in me. As a young boy, my dad and mom used to say, I was a crybaby, all right? I know I like to think I'm bad, dude, but they said, like, when they would leave the house, I would run up to the door and, like, hang upside down on the door handle and be like, don't leave me! And all my brothers be looking at me, dude, this little baby. That was when I was a kid. I'm a grown-up now, all right? But he began to share stories. I mean, Dad would share stories of when I would cry. He said I used to have earaches all the time. And even in my mother's womb, the doctor said I wasn't going to make it and that she should abort me. And I remember, that's right, girl. And I remember my dad sharing stories when I would cry. And he would sing the song. And he said I wouldn't fall asleep until he continued to sing the song. And the song was, I was born to be thy dwelling place, a home for the presence of the Lord. Let my heart now be separated unto thee, that I may be what I was born to be. And he said, as a young boy, I mean, I'm a baby. I don't really understand those words. But he would literally speak and prophesy and declare these words over me, that my life was meant to be a dwelling place for the presence of God. And he would share songs and sing these songs over me. I mean, times I remember growing up and cuddling in my dad's arms, and I remember feeling like, man, I'm like a little lion cub, like Simba, right? Stories of my mom and dad just being with me and nurturing and walking with me. And all I can think of is, as a four-year-old boy, how did I have the confidence to walk home? It was because there was such a sense of security as a young child that my parents delighted in me. And I would be safe. As long as I get home, I know Dad's going to be there. Matter of fact, Daddy might be coming, but I can't wait. I got stuff to do. As a young boy, there was a confidence that arose within me because I knew that I was delighted in. And you know, when I think about that in Scripture, Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord will take great delight in you. The Lord is a mighty warrior. And he will rejoice over you with singing. You know, as sons and daughters of God, there's something that is absolutely fundamental in our faith that we need to grab a hold of. And it's that our God, the one who created us, the one who forms us, the one who knows us, he delights in us. He so loved the world. He delights in us. And when we understand that sense of value, and when we understand the sense of worth that comes from knowing the delight that is lavished upon us from the Father, there's a confidence that begins to arise inside of us, a confidence that can't be tainted, a confidence that can't be drowned out, and a confidence that cannot be weighed down. As a young boy, there was a confidence that I was worth something. My wife looks at me all the time. She's like, how are you so dang confident? I mean, sometimes I just be faking it, right? I'm like, what's up, girl? You know what I'm saying? Like, when I try to ask her out, right? I was kind of scared. I was like, hey, what you doing tonight after work? You know what I'm saying? She didn't see my leg kicking, though, because I was behind the desk, right? And so you got to disguise it sometimes. But she's like, how are you so confident? And again, I began to look back at my life, and all I can know is my parents instilled something within me that arose from their love. A confidence I can do anything. I remember being a young boy playing baseball and getting ready to pitch one of the championship games, and my dad before the game making me breakfast and oatmeal and toast and just saying, boy, you got this. Go out there and get them, y'all. You got this. When I would try new things or step on a sports team, you got this. He's something that he's instilled within me, just knowing that I love, knowing that even if I failed, even if I messed up, I mean, I remember, and I have no idea how he was so patient. I mean, both him and my mom. I mean, mom's having 9 kids. I mean, who does that? Right? That's just Jesus all over her. Jesus got her back. Grown woman status. But they were so patient. I mean, we broke window after window. I mean, now that I'm working, I'm like, dang, if I did to my dad, if my kids do with me, well, y'all, you'll get it, right? If my kids do that, I'll be like, boy, you are restricted for the rest of your life. But patience and love. And I remember he was teaching me how to do division. Pops, you remember this? We were at the counter at my mom's house at the table, the counter table, whatever it was. And literally it was like 4 hours on how to do long division. It's like 5 goes into 10, and you know, it's at the top, it's 2. Well, how is it 2, Dad? Right. All right, you got 10 things, 5 gets to go into, take 5 away. How much left? There's 1. Well, okay, so at the start, you had 2 sets of 5, right? Yeah, but I don't get it, Dad, start again. All right, let me draw some pictures for you. Let me get some apples out of the fridge real quick so I can show you. And I remember just crying, like literally, like tears coming out of my eyes. I can't do this, Dad. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. You feel me? But I was in the gate class, you know what I'm saying? I was in the advanced. Right after that, I broke through. Daddy broke me through. Because right after that, I went to advanced classes. They're like, dang, how's your boy so smart? And in math, my dad's like, oh, you should have saw him do division like 2 weeks ago. You wouldn't think he's very gifted. This delight, this love, this patience, this experience of him loving, him and my mom loving and lavishing on me and beginning to secure me. And what happened is I began to reciprocate that as I grew up. I remember growing up and, you know, my father said he made it a point to show us love by hugs and kisses. Because that was something he never received from his father. So he wanted to ensure that we knew we were delighted in by him. And so when I grew up and in high school, you know, junior high, and I'm saying goodbye to my mom and saying goodbye to my dad, I kissed him on the cheek or kissed him on the forehead, and I was unashamed. My friend's like, dude, what you doing kissing your dad? Boy, I kissed my dad because he kissed me first. You weren't there when I was in trouble and dad got me out of the principal's office. You weren't there when dad sacrificed wearing work boots to nice places so he can buy me nice shoes. You weren't there when dad had to work extra hours and mom had to work 2 jobs to take care of all of us. You weren't, I'll kiss my dad whenever I want to kiss my dad. But the affection, the delight was reciprocated. Because as I began to recognize his delight in me, it began to overwhelm and flow into delight for him. Just as 1 John says, we love him because he first loved us. And so I began to learn how to delight in him. But then I began to learn as I grew up as well that delight doesn't just happen by accident. Delight happens intentionally. You see, God intentionally delights in us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He intentionally chose to give his son. And the son intentionally chose to take fleshly form and come down onto the earth. The Son chose to intentionally delight in the world, even though it didn't delight in Him. And He chose to go to the cross. He chose to pick it up. He chose to keep going step after step, whip after whip, ridicule after ridicule, accusation after accusation. It was an intentional delight that the Father showed for us. And as we learn to grow in delight with the Father, first receiving His delight over us, but then reciprocating that delight to Him, we have to understand that that delight is intentional. Mm-hmm. It's us getting up in the morning and saying, God, I love being with You today. Yes. I'm so excited to spend time in Your presence, Lord. It's us putting on worship and saying, God, I don't care what it looks like around me. I don't care how I feel or what the circumstances are saying. I'm going to choose to worship and delight myself in You. It's us getting up into the Word and saying, God, I'm going to begin to know Your Word and know Your thoughts towards me. Because all around me and growing up, the circumstances and people and things begin to put lies in my head that I can't do it and I'm not good enough and I'm not of worth. But God, Your Word says You chose me in You before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in Your sight. Your Word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your Word says that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. God, I'm going to choose to delight myself in Your Word because Your Word is a direct reflection of You. It's intentional. When I think about my wife, and my wife's like, babe, we got to spend time together. Quality time together. You know, quality time for me is like, hey, let's go watch a movie. She's like, for real? Right? She pulls out the five love languages of Gary Chapman. Well, what Pastor Sonny say, Joseph? I'm about to call Pastor Sonny. Oh, babe, just put the phone down. Put the phone down, girl. We're going right now on a date. We're going. That girl got me whipped. It's all good, though. I ain't even mad. But she's like, hey, when you're going to delight in me, you're going to look at me in the eyes. You're going to spend time with me. And like for me, like TV, I don't know. It's just like a magnet. Just I don't know if it's just guys or just me or just me. Like, but it goes on. And I'm just, it could be something I'm not even interested in, right, baby? And she's looking at me like, you don't even care about that. I'm right here. I'm your future baby mama. Look at me. I don't know, just attention. But delighting is it's intentional, sitting down and talking. Any relationship, when you're talking about delighting in someone, you're talking about being there, being fully present. Wherever you're at, you're fully present. You're not thinking about what's happening later that day. You're not thinking about what's happening tomorrow or why something's not happening when you want it to happen. You are fully there, fully present. And as you learn to grow in delight, you have to not only recognize that it's intentional, but it happens over time. Delight develops daily, not in a day. Yeah. Let me say that again. Delight develops daily, not in a day. When you learn to delight yourself in the Lord, and you begin to learn His delight over you, it's not just going to happen one day you wake up, oh, my whole life, I just delight in God. Oh, God delights in me so much. For the rest of my life, I'm going to have confidence and faith, and it's going to be amazing. This happens over time, over experience. This happens daily, on a day in and day out. I went through that, but yeah, I messed up and failed, but God still delights in me. Yeah, I shot my friend's window with a BB gun and then lied. I said, didn't do it. And then my dad disciplined and paid $150 to do it, but He still loves me. Say that. It happens over experience. I messed up and I sinned and I disobeyed God. But He brought me back to the place of delight. He brought me back to the place of intimacy and He still delights in me. It happens daily. It doesn't happen overnight. And as you begin to delight, what ends up happening is the two become one. In that place of delight, the two become one. In that place of delight, intimacy begins to birth destiny. In that place of delight, your hearts become synced. Your minds become synced. You begin to understand what you both like, what you both dislike. You begin to understand what encourages you and what discourages you. You begin to understand the hopes and dreams and aspirations and ambitions that you have for each other's future or for your own future. And you begin to understand those things that damper those. In that place of delight, the two become one. And as we begin to grow in intimacy with God and delighting in Him and learning to delight in us, in that place, sense of purpose and a sense of destiny begins to be cultivated and begins to rise up. It's in that place of delight. Yeah. But you know, there's a kind of a cool component of this word delight. Yeah. Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, a lot of people ask, well, how do you know you're doing the right thing, Joseph? How do you know you're making the right steps, or you're taking the right steps and you're making the right decisions? And my greatest confidence is in this. I delight in God. Yeah. Amen. I delight in him. My heart is set on him. Well, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Doesn't scripture say that in Jeremiah? Well, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So yeah, maybe that's what it was outside of Christ, but in Christ, when I delight myself in him, I could be fully assured that his heart is mine because my heart has become his. So how do you know you're making the right decision? Because I'm in him. In him and through him, I have my being. I keep in step with the Spirit, as Paul says in Galatians. Do you mess up? Oh, heck yes. Ask my wife. She got a list. And she'll show you with confidence. Joseph wasn't delighting in Jesus today. Let me show you how. And sometimes she'll be like, you got to go pray. She'll be like, babe, you better go pray. I'll be like, you right, babe. You right. My bad. But there's a confidence that comes when you're delighting. But there's also another component of this word. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Again, we delight in him. He delights in us. It's a mutual reciprocation. And boom, destiny purpose is beginning to be birthed. But also in that word delight, the word is anag. And in the Hebrew, it literally means soft, delicate, and pliable. Flexible. And this is what I call, when you delight in God, it allows room for there to be a faith for a divine flexibility. Amen. When you delight yourself in God and you recognize his delight in you, there's allowed space for a faith for a divine flexibility. Well, what the heck does that mean? I'm going to break it down for you. What happens when you think you should be doing something and God takes you in a different direction? Yeah. Is it divine flexibility? What happens when your sense of purpose was driving you one way, but all of a sudden you feel a nudge to go another? There's a place of faith for divine flexibility. Because I delight in him, he could say, move to the right, and I move. Because he said, by delighting him, he could say, move to the left, and I move. He could say, I know you were on this track, but now I got you on this track. And rather than me being afraid and being shaken and being, but God, that's not the plan we set out 10 months ago, I can say, God, my delight is in you. I got you. You got me. Let's go. Yeah. So when the bus don't come, when the bus don't come, I know that my delight is in him, so I can walk my butt home. When the bus don't come, when it doesn't happen the way I thought it should. I mean, I was waiting every day. I get up, I go to the bus stop, it takes me to school. I go to school. Yeah, pick me, teacher. Good. All right, I come home, get to the bus stop, and I go home. It happens every day. The same routine for success. But when it doesn't happen the way you thought it should, when it doesn't happen the way you anticipated it would, in that moment, there has to be a faith for divine flexibility, and that happens through delight. When you could say, all right, God, it's looking a little different than I thought it would look. Pastor Sonny, has it looked different than we thought it would look? When I first made that decision to go to Texas Roadhouse, my whole world got turned upside down. Look to your neighbor and say, upside down. It did not happen the way that I thought it would. It did not happen the way that I thought it should. God, we prayed and fasted for this to happen. I want to be associate pastor, then I'll take over a church plant, then I'll help, let me help grow, and blah, 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 blah. And God said, well, your wife wants to go finish her master's degree. I was like, that's what's up. Get it, baby. Mm. And then she came to me like, I want to finish my master's degree, but I don't want to work no more. I was like, hold up. Jesus, was that you? Was that sushi she ate last night? I had to go delight myself in Jesus for a moment. And as I did, he said, get it. Give it all she got. Let her give it all she got. Let her give it all she got. There's this destiny in her, and it got to come out. And you got to be one of the ones that help cultivate that. I said, all right, well, I'm about to go work in a restaurant then. It didn't happen the way that I thought it should. Yeah, all right. But delight allowed for a faith to bring about a divine flexibility. Yeah. Yeah. No, Paul, this happened to Paul in Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, Paul, he has this passion and this heart to spread the gospel and to go among the Gentiles. And his desire is to go into Asia. Yeah. And it says in verse 6, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, first of all, get in your mind, they're on a mission trip and they had a plan. Yeah. They were going to Phrygia and then they were going to Galatia. But it says the Holy Spirit kept them from going to Asia. There was a plan. There was a purpose. There was a reason. There was a timeline. There was a goal. But the Holy Spirit's saying, hold up. You need some divine flexibility right now. Because I got something else that I want to see done. It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Got these all these O's. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. All right, so now they're going to the border and like, hey, we're doing our due diligence. We're budgeting. We're planning. We're looking at a retirement. We're looking at what degree I got to get to the next level of my career. I'm going through everything I have to do. But I get to this border and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus is telling me, you're not going. Hold up, God. Did I not hear you right? Am I missing something? Is my faith not enough? Am I in sin? Right? Why did you let me go this far? Yeah. Why did I waste all those resources? Yeah. I mean, when I was getting ready to go to Bolivia for 4 years and the Lord turned it all around, I was like, I told donors I was going to Bolivia. Remember this, Pastor Sonny? Yeah. And I was getting, see, this is part of who I am now. God just showed me, right? But I was getting ready to go to Bolivia. I mean, money was raised. They turned it in. And I had to go back to them and be like, there's this thing called divine flexibility. You ever heard about it? No? Okay, let me try to show you in scripture where it might be. I had to go to them and be like, hey, I thought God told me to go to Bolivia, and maybe he did, or maybe he was working something out in me through that process. Yeah. And what needed to be done was done, and so he said, okay, I'm going to direct you a little different now. Yeah. Maybe it's not always set in stone like I think it should be, yeah. Or would hope that it would be, or the way that I would desire it to be. Yeah. And so I had to tell all the donors, I ain't going to Bolivia no more. I'm really sorry. If you think I'm like a fake Christian, I understand. And a lot of them were like, you know what? It's all good. You're going to faith. Use that money to wherever you're going. I use it for another mission trip. It's pretty awesome. But back to the scripture. During the night, Paul had the vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got up ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So he's here in this night. They're going to a place they desire to go. In their heart, they felt called to go. And here's the call. The call is to go. Jesus said, go to all nations. The call is to go. If you are questioning whether or not God has called you to go, I'm going to tell you right now, go. Now, where you go might be a little different. And how you go might be a little different. But the point is, we are all called to go. Whether that's in our family, you better get your butt up and go. Whether that's on your job, get your butt up and go. Whether that is in your community, Ms. Brincon, get your butt up and go. Whatever God has called you to do, in at the bottom of foundational root of it is go. And so Paul's going. He doesn't have all the details. You know, it's like one of those commercials when you're growing up as a kid and it's like batteries sold separately, right? And I just hear the Spirit of God saying, in details, told separately. Right? You don't see that and say, oh man, that toy is awesome, but batteries are sold separately? I'm not going to buy that. I mean, when they show commercials for Batman toys, I was like, Dad, can we get it now? I remember saving up money, walking my butt like 3 miles to Toys R Us. 3 miles there, 3 miles back. So I could go to Toys R Us and buy Batman toys. Right? And some of them needed batteries, but that didn't discourage me from buying the toy. Some of you are like, well, God didn't give me all the details, so I ain't moving. Details will come as you go. Details told separately. Will you go, Abraham? But God, how exactly is it going to happen? Don't worry about how it's exactly going to happen. Just worry about the fact that I told you to go. And so Paul, he's going. The details aren't there. And then all of a sudden, God begins to show him this dream. And that's the confidence that delight has. When you're delighting him, your ear is always attuned to his voice.
That's right.
God gave him a dream. That was the way God chose to reveal it to him at that moment. And in that dream, because Paul's heart is sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, he's able to see this man from Philippi, from Macedonia, saying, come. And the result of Paul going there was him meeting a woman named Lydia and her household being saved. Him running into a demon-possessed woman who was following them around for days, saying, these men are from God. What they're saying is true. And finally, Paul's like, woman, you are demonically possessed, and I'm sick of you up in our ear. I don't know why he didn't do this the first day, but for whatever reason, he let it happen for a couple days. Maybe he's like, shoot, she's giving us a, you know, what's that word? Promotion. There you go. She's promoting us. We don't even got to say it, right? Because everybody knew this woman was demonically possessed. And after a number of days, Paul's finally like, dude, all right, be quiet. Come out of her. She was set free. And her owners, her slave owners, were so angry that at that moment they went to the officials, Roman officials, and they told on Paul. They arrested Paul. Now Paul's like, hold up, okay, I was going to share the gospel in Asia. You told me not to go. You stopped me, God. I was going like I felt like you told me to. And now I'm getting thrown in prison. Is this really from you? Sometimes when you're going where God says go, it doesn't look like it's supposed to look. You start questioning, like, hold on, this isn't supposed to happen this way, God. I'm not supposed to set a woman free from demonic possession and then get thrown into prison. Yeah. 1 + 1 is not equaling 2, God. Yeah. But what happened while he was in prison? At night, he's worshiping. Yeah. And the Spirit of God sends an earthquake. And the jailer's freaking out, about to kill himself because he knows he's dead anyways at that point. And Paul begins to share the gospel with all the people in the prison and the jailer. The jailer takes Paul to his house. He shares the gospel with all of his family. Yeah. All a result of him being thrown in prison. Yeah. And then he gets out and he gets beaten by the Roman officials. God, this is not how it's supposed to go down. I'm not supposed to be staying late nights working while my wife's at home cuddling the pillow, God. Right? She's not supposed to be studying all this crazy time, God, and putting all this effort in. It was supposed to happen a different way, God. Yeah. But Paul's in there saying, you're in control. Yeah. You see, when we're following and we're delighting and we're going, when it doesn't happen the way that we think it should happen, yeah, in those moments, God is often working in a way that we never thought he would work. Yeah. When you don't think it's happening in a way you think it should happen, God's working in a way that you would have never anticipated the way that he wants to work. Yeah. And so in this place, Paul's learning to see God's work. He's learning to see God's hand and see God move beyond anything he's able to think, expect, believe for, or even imagine. Yeah. You see, for Paul, a closed door wasn't no. For some of us, we're like, all right, we're supposed to go to Asia, preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit tells me not to go. All right, pack my bags, go home. It's time to go see my baby. And we're going home. We're done. For Paul, it was open heart. God, what are you doing now? I'm going to delight in you. What are the next steps? See, for Paul, when it didn't happen the way that he thought it should happen, because he understood the Father's love for the world, because he understood the Father's love for him, and he says it this way, man, he chose me, one who is the worst of sinners. It's not by my power that I work, but his grace that so powerfully works within me. And because of that grace, I work harder than all. I go like a beast. I don't stop. A door closed is not a door that is shut from God. A door closed just means another door is opening. For Paul, it was, I'm not going to stop because this grace inside of me is too powerful. He understood the grace the Father had over him because he understood the grace that the Father had through delight in him. You see, in this moment, Paul was learning how to see God move outside of the box. We need to learn how to let God move outside of our box. Look to your neighbor and say, outside the box. Look to your other neighbor and say, outside the box. You see, when the bus don't come, are you thinking outside the box? See, for Paul, the bus didn't come. The door was shut to go to Asia. All right, God, what's next? But for you, when the bus doesn't come, are you thinking it's time to pack up and go home? I must have heard God wrong. Now I'm discouraged. Now, God, you're not doing it the way that I thought you should. Now my faith isn't even real. See, I knew God never listened to my prayers. See, I knew I can't hear from God. Only the pastors can. When the bus does not come, Now, there are times we need to sit and wait on God. There are times you might need to wait at the bus stop because you're 4-year-old and someone might try to kidnap you. You feel me? It's called godly wisdom. There's times like with Saul when God said, hey, wait for the prophet Samuel to come. Because sometimes in the waiting process, God is not just looking to do an external work. He's actually desiring to do an internal work. And sometimes in the waiting process, there's internal things that God is moving around and shaping. There's a faith capacity that's growing. There's character issues that are being shaped. And in those places of waiting, hope is beginning to be built up. Faith is beginning to be stirred up. And your maturity is beginning to get to that next level. And so not all waiting is bad. Matter of fact, Scripture commands us to wait on the Lord at times. Again, Saul, in his presumption, he moved because he was afraid. See, here's the thing. When you move out of faith and when you move out of delight, fear is not tied to it. Amen. When Saul moved and was afraid the army was going to turn against him, he moved because he was worried about what people looked like, what he looked like from the outside in. Yeah, yeah. And his fear moved him to presumptuous action. Yeah. But when you're waiting on God or when you're moving in faith, again, it arises from delight. And so there are times to wait. But if I can be real, I often think that we use I'm waiting on God as an excuse rather than a reality. Because we're afraid. What if it doesn't happen? Because we're afraid. What if it doesn't look like what I thought it should look like? Because we're afraid that we're going to fail. And what are people going to say of us if we step out of faith and fail? Because we're afraid that what we thought was God may not be God. Yeah. You see, when we allow ourselves to go to that place of letting God move and letting him move us, we begin to understand when he says wait and when he says move. Yeah. Because if it's not a waiting time, it's a moving time. Yeah. Good. If it's not a waiting time, it's a moving time. And if we're putting God in a box and if we're limiting the way that he desires to move in our lives, we're going to miss out on the above and beyond in which he wants to move. And we're going to get ready to wrap it up in this. In Ephesians, Paul says this: to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you dare to ask or imagine. I don't think y'all get it yet. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all you dare to ask or imagine. You see, the God that I serve, the God that Living Hope serves, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose him from the dead after the third day, he's able to do immeasurably more than all you dare to ask or imagine. Now, if that's true, you need to be dreaming bigger. If that's true, we need to be reaching higher. If that's true, we might need to be acting and walking faster and further. You see, we're sitting here waiting for God to do these little things, and he's saying, I'm able to do immeasurably more than all you dare to ask or imagine. The transition and going to Texas Roadhouse, for me, I'm like, that makes no sense, God. God says, I'm going to take your sense, throw it in the trash, and I'm going to give you some more sense. Because I'm able to do immeasurably more than all you dare to ask or imagine. You're influencing this one restaurant. I want you to influence the country. You're influencing these one set of leaders. I want you to influence worldwide leaders. Yeah. This doesn't make sense, God. It doesn't work in my paradigm. Who cares about your paradigm? Yeah. He's able to do immeasurably more than all we dare to ask or imagine. As Pastor Sonny was sharing that about Syria, you have no idea how God wants to move there. Why limit him? Yeah. Why not just say, hey, God, however you want to do it, let's do it. In your family, you have no idea how God wants to move there. Yeah. Stop limiting him. On your job, you have no idea. Yeah. Paul, who saw miracle after miracle, who was blinded by the Holy Spirit, who raised the dead himself through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he said, this God that I serve is able to do immeasurably more than all we dare to ask or imagine. Yeah. He's able to do it. I mean, I've seen God do great things. He's able to do even more than this. Yeah. Where are you putting God in a box? When the bus doesn't come and you just stand there and cry out of self-pity and as if you're a victim, you're limiting God. What if he doesn't want to send a bus anymore? What if he wants to send a helicopter? What if he wants to send a car? What if he wants you to get off your butt and walk? Because just like he told that woman in the testimony, she still had to do something. He said, you can. She still had to get up and walk outside of that room. He didn't just have a divine hand from heaven pick her up and throw her into the hallway. He could do it, but he didn't do it. Why? Because God partners with us in the spirit. You're waiting for a 5.0 Mustang to come pick you up, and God's saying, use your 5.0s. Get off your butt and walk. It's time to move. You're waiting for a divine hand from heaven to do something for you. Get your budget right. Start speaking right to your boss. Treat your team better. Treat your wife better. Study your butt off in school. You're crying about how you're not getting the promotion, but you're not putting any extra time, energy, and effort to get the promotion. You're not studying at home. You're not watching videos to help you grow. You're not reading books, but you're pissed off that your job is not looking at you as the next one in line. It's not their fault. I wouldn't promote you either. Neither would God. That's why you're not getting promoted. Now, that's not always the case. Little disclaimer. But think outside the box. Let God move outside of the box. Let God do what he wants to do in a way that you've never seen it. We often use this excuse, well, I've never seen it done that way. Well, that's never happened in my life that way. Well, no one's ever taught me. When I was married, I started getting scared because I was like, I never saw an amazing, healthy marriage. And my parents are awesome parents, but they were divorced when we were younger. And so I never saw two amazing people in a marriage until I was with PBMPS. And God began to show me, look about the people around you. Did they argue? Yes, they argued. Did they have issues? Yes, they had issues. We all got issues. Look to your neighbor and say, you got issues. But when they argued, I don't know if they knew I was listening because I could hear them. I was in the living room, right? They were in their bedroom. I remember this one time. Pastor Slade was mad at PB for like not fasting, right? And PB's like, don't tell me how to be godly. She's like, we're not fasting. I'm fasting right now. And I'm in the living room like, oh, Jesus, please help them. I don't know what to do, God. I don't know what to do. Should I take them food? Should I not take them food? Should I make them dinner? One's fasting and one's not fasting. I don't know, Jesus. But they worked it out. And I heard them work it out. Oh, I love you, baby. I'm so sorry for yelling at you. Oh, baby, I love you. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's pray. I saw them work it out. Parents, that's actually one of the most healthy things you could do is argue in front of your kids. That they see that love isn't all hunky-dory and never bubbles and rainbows and unicorns. That you actually got issues and you got to work through them. Yeah. Now, that isn't a license for some of y'all to go argue. Like, I'm going home right now. I'm about to argue. Yeah. Pastor Joseph just said I could go argue with anybody. No. But I begin to see them work it out. So my excuse of, well, I've never seen it done. It was never done that way in my eyes. God said, look all around you. There's people who've modeled for you what it's supposed to look like. There's men and women of faith who've lived it out before you. Men who have gone before you into dangerous places. Men who have gone before you into the marketplace. Men who have gone before you into places where the gospel has never been spread. Men who have gone before you in athletics and are sharing the gospel there. There are people that have gone before you. Stop using the excuse of I've never seen it done or it's never happened in my life. That's an excuse. And it ain't gonna fly. I mean, if you want to coddle yourself with that the rest of your life, you're going to stay where you're at. Yeah. But if you want to get to where you've never been, you got to go where you've never gone. And you got to be willing to do what you've never done. And you got to be willing to believe in a way you've never believed. Yeah. You have to learn how to delight in a way that you have never delighted. Because when we begin to let God move us where he wants to move us, the one thing that remains is delight.
Yeah.
Circumstance will change. People may change, situations may change, and a lot of that climate may become unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But you know what remains familiar? Is the presence of God. And I'll take presence over detail any day of the week. I'll take presence over detail any day of the week. Because in that place of delight, destiny begins to be revealed. In that place of delight, God begins to show us the next step. Well, this was always in you, Joseph. Even as a 4-year-old kid, you weren't going to wait for the bus. when life comes at you, come at it harder. Joseph, that's always been in you. Your brothers used to beat the mess out of you. You never quit. You kept fighting. You'd bite them in the leg if you had to. You did whatever you had to do. Now, that's right, God. That's who I am. I'm a beast. In that place of delight, identity is revealed. In that place of delight, purpose is cultivated and made known. This was always in me. I've always had a heart for people. I've always had a heart for leadership. I've always had a heart for the sick or the broken. I've always had a heart for art. I've always had a heart for sports. I've always had a heart to lead people into different places of culture. I've always had a heart to do extreme things. In that place of delight, God begins to bring revelation of who he is and of who you are and of who you are in him. Today, I believe God is leading us to a greater place of delight. As Living Hope, as sons and daughters of God, God is leading us to a greater place of delight because there's more that he has. There's immeasurably more. Immeasurably more than all we dare to ask or imagine. God has more for this house. He has more for us as a church. He has more for us as a people. And it's time for us to learn to delight in him so he can take the cap off that we're putting on him. He can remove the box that we've been placing him in. And we can begin to move in action the way that he desires to lead us in action. You ready to go there? You ready to go there, church? You ready to go there? It begins with delight. Let's close our eyes. Father, this morning we come to you and we thank you for your love. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us. And God, I thank you that you're taking us as a house to a place of greater delight where there's no fear. There's no fear. There's no fear of failure. There's no fear of what if. There's no fear of it not happening. You're taking it to a place where we can move with great confidence, with divine flexibility. Where in the reality is you already know where you're going, God. But you only may reveal pieces to us at a time. But you're bringing us to a place where presence overtakes detail. Where we can say, I may not know, but I know the one who does know. I may not understand, but I understand the one who understands. I may not get it right now, but I know the one who got it. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit would begin to sweep through this house this morning and unleash in us a greater desire to delight in your presence, Father. A greater desire to be with you. We sang this morning, this is the one thing, God. That is the one thing that I seek. Unleashing us a greater desire to seek you, to dwell with you, whether we're on our job, to dwell in your presence, whether we're in our living rooms, to dwell in your presence, whether we're at the public market, to dwell in your presence, to allow you to erase what we thought should happen, because with you, God, nothing's wasted. Well, I put that much time to school and I'm not even using my degree. Nothing's wasted with God. I put that much time into the church and it didn't happen the way that I thought it was supposed to. Well, nothing is wasted with God. In every moment and of every day, Scripture says that you are working for the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. And so in us, you are working for our good. Through every circumstance, you are working for our good. Through every situation, God, you are working for our good. Through every relationship, you are working for our good. God, help us to delight in you in a new way. I just believe there's some of you who God is saying now it's time for you to take action. The bus hasn't come, but you've still been waiting. And you're waiting for the hand of God to pick you up, and I see the hand of God slapping you on the butt saying, get up. You're waiting for the hand of God to pick you up and point you in the right direction, and I see the hand of God grabbing you by the shirt, spinning you around, and saying, you already know where to go. And if that's you, I just want to join with you in faith and in prayer. I want you just to stand up. If that's you who are saying, I know it's time for me to stop waiting. I know there was a season for that. But I know it's time for me to get off my butt. It's time for me to start moving away from the bus stop. And it's time to go. Whether that's on your job, whether that's in relationships, whether that's in church and joining a ministry or being a part of what God is doing here at Living Hope. If that's you, I just want you to stand up right now, and I want to join you.